I'm Heidi Holton with Katie Carter. It is the Friday Morning Show.
On Sunday, March 3rd, 1991, a pipeline owned by the Lakehead Pipeline Company ruptured just east of Grand Rapids, and it spilled over 40,000 barrels of crude oil, about 1.7 million gallons in all. The rupture caused pressurized oil to shoot from the pipeline into the air. Nearby trees were immediately coated with oil. And within a few hours, oil had spread into a wetland area and into a storm sewer that carried it to the Prairie River, about half a mile from where it flows into the Mississippi.
It was and is the largest oil spill in Minnesota history. The 34-inch line that ruptured that day has been the source of many oil spills in Minnesota over the last 30 years. It's the pipeline that the company that succeeded Lakehead, Enbridge Energy, says is now worn out and too expensive to maintain. Enbridge is proposing to decommission it and replace it with a new pipeline along a different route. Our senior correspondent, Scott Hall, was the news director at KEXE at the time of the oil spill. He headed out to the site of the spill that Sunday afternoon in 1991, and he joins us now. Morning, Scott.
Morning, you guys.
Thanks for being here. So what do you remember about that afternoon?
Well, you know, I was thinking, the one thing I don't know if I remember accurately is the weather, but I think it was a day like today, sunny and kind of warming up a little bit. And so Marilyn Ralston was a weekend employee for KEXE. She covered a lot of our weekend programming. And the first thing I remember, and probably everyone, in fact, everyone I talked to says this, including Sarah Bignall, who didn't live too far from the spill, was the smell. It stunk. And I guess when the oil is exposed, it turns to hydrogen sulfide, and I describe the smell as sulfuric. You know? But it just stunk. It was like an invisible cloud of odor. It was horrible. And, of course, it was intense, and the Grand Rapids Fire Department, the police were there. The city ordered the evacuation, about 300 people in the area. At first, they didn't want to let me get into the radio station. By the way, all this land is owned by the University of Minnesota, where this occurred. And Itasca Community College and the U.S. Forest Service are on University of Minnesota land. And so this is the University of Minnesota's. I tried to call some University of Minnesota people who I knew were around then, and I wasn't able to reach them. But there was plenty of other people who remember it, and remember it almost as well as I do. But Marilyn was at the station, and I rushed out there, and they wanted us to evacuate the station and turn it off. And somehow, and I don't think it was very hard to do, was either to convince the police or the fire department, say, you know, let's stay on the air and tell people what's going on.
Right.
And we did. And it was just a brief announcement because we didn't know. All we were able to say was there's been an oil spill, a pipeline's ruptured, and we don't know how much oil spilled. We don't know how extensive it is, but they're evacuating. And the fire people were glad that we could tell people that, okay?
Right. So could you see oil all over the place? What was it like?
I couldn't, no. The rupture occurred, I'm guessing, a quarter mile, maybe a little further north of 169, and this would be west of Itasca campus, maybe another quarter mile. So it's in the same corridor that exists today. And it was along the same pipeline corridor, and of course we had no idea how big the spill was. By the time I got there, and I think most people got there, the rupture had stopped. They had been able to shut it down. But by the next morning, we knew the wetland was saturated and the oil had gotten into the Prairie River.
How did they stop the rupture?
Well, you know, Lakehead has these isolation valves, or Lakehead, it's Enbridge Energy now. Same line, same pipe, 56-year-old pipeline. So when a rupture is detected, they can shut down the line upstream from the flow, which makes sense. But apparently, by most accounts, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency is one of my sources, it was almost an hour after they'd been notified before they were able to shut the pipeline down, and that delay probably led to the size of the spill of 1.7 million gallons.
We're talking with Scott Hall. He's our senior correspondent. We are asking him about 27 years ago when there was an oil spill, the largest inland oil spill, at Itasca Community College. You were the news director then and covered it. So what was the cleanup like?
It was, you know, the response, I would say, was hard to tell the first couple days. Lakehead had briefings every day. They estimated there were 600,000 gallons spill, about 15,000 barrels. They would update us every morning. In fact, we had Lakehead people on the radio every morning. Denise Hampshire, I think she might still be with Enbridge, was on with us. She was their spokesman. And then they'd have an engine. You go to the briefings, the engineers and other people would be there too. And they would say how many tanker truckloads of oil had been removed from the wetland and from the river each day. And some of the oil was actually sucked out of, especially in the river, was sucked out and taken back to Clearbrook and just dumped back in the pipe. You know, so they were able to recover a lot of that oil. After the second day, I went down to the river, and I just wanted to watch them suck the oil out. And I ended up talking to the truckers down there, and they just were big oil tanker truckers. You know, they had backed up. There were people standing on the river with squeegees, pooling up the oil on top of the ice. And they told me they were sucking out about 7,000 gallons of oil per load. And by the third day, Wednesday morning, during the briefing, Lakehead said, "We know more than 200 tanker loads have been hauled off to the spill site, and from the river, and the spill site." And so I began. I asked these truck drivers, "You know, 7,000 times 200." I said, "That sounds to me like more than 1 million gallons. Are you still sticking to the 600,000?" They said, "Yeah, we're still sticking. A lot of it's water," they said. Mm-hmm. So they kind of stuck with their $600,000 gallon estimate. And so we'd ask them about the estimate every day, and that whole week they wouldn't change the estimate. Mm-hmm. But I think by the end of the week, anybody who was following it knew it had to be bigger than that because the trucks were still going. And we kind of suspected the spill was bigger than that just because of the response, you know. I will say this, Lakehead was very aggressive. And, of course, they didn't want to spill. I mean, and they knew this was horrible. There was media coming in from all over Minnesota, television, radio, not just, you know, all the Twin Cities papers and TV stations. Of course, the Grand Rapids Herald was there, and I'm sure from North Dakota, I think a Fargo paper was there. So the room was full of media, and they were trying to just explain how aggressive their cleanup was and how thorough it was going. So it would be a while before we knew. I will say this, we did tour the wetland. Toward the end of the week, we viewed the ruptured pipe. They had exposed the pipe and showed where it was, and had a little show for everybody to see what. And as I remember, the rupture was longitudinal, you know, along the length of the pipe, and I think it was about 4 or 6 feet long. It was pretty impressive how bad that rupture was. They had landscaped the wetland in such a way to collect soil and drainage, and tons of saturated soil were hauled off and burned at Minnesota Power's Clay Boswell plant, Cohasset. So that was how a lot of the oil was gotten rid of.
So was the cleanup of the Prairie River,
that was what after we saw the wetland and how it was being cleaned up and the soils were hauled off and burned, a lot of the focus was on the river. And later we learned about 20% of the spill, that's 340,000 gallons, of the 1.7 million made it to the river. We were worried how polluted and damaged the river would be. Would the oil reach the Mississippi? In fact, I called National Public Radio. I said, "We got a huge oil spill here." And they said, "Well, where did it happen?" I explained it went into Prairie River. And they were kind of saying, "Well, I'm not sure we want to do anything on it." I said, "Well, the Prairie River's just a half mile above the Mississippi." And they said, "We'll do it." You know, so we just did a report or two for NPR on the update. But that oil, in fact, this morning I drove out to the river site where the oil was just to see what it was like. And it looked a lot like it looked then, except there was oil all over it. The oil had pooled on top of the ice, prevented it from going very far downstream. There was a lot of oil on the ice, pools, deep pools in places. And later we learned under the ice, those tanker trucks were sucking that oil off. And workers were on top of the ice using squeegees. That was kind of weird looking. And it was ugly, brown and black. And it definitely would have been much more difficult if the river had been free of ice. Warmer weather would have allowed that oil to move, probably to the Mississippi before they could have stopped. They put booms. They chainsawed grooves in the ice and put booms, and they really did a fast response once they knew what happened. And I think the spill, you could say, was contained above the Mississippi. Very little, if any, got into the Mississippi. Damage to the river and shoreline seemed to be temporary. And the oil, I know they tested the groundwater around the site for years to follow, and I don't think there was any serious contamination. Anyway, it was a hairy week. Everybody thought, this can't happen to these waters, you know, right. Up here. This is too pristine for this to happen. And then being so close to the only part of the Mississippi that is so beautiful and unpolluted. Anyway, that was kind of the feeling.
So besides looking back yourself, you've also been trying to connect with people who were there at the time and get their memories?
Yeah, and I will say this. A week after all the media had left, that next Monday, I believe it was, or maybe it was the Sunday. I think it was a Monday. Lake had said, yeah, the spill, we've redone the estimate to 1.7 million gallons. But I think the Grand Rapids Herald and KAXE were the only people there to report that day. And the other newspapers picked up on it for sure. And that's the official total is about 1.7 million gallons. But we were a little skeptical. We felt Lakehead kind of, they probably knew, you know, they knew how much oil they lost, at least maybe not precisely, but they knew it was a lot more than 600,000 gallons. And, you know, interesting, I talked to half a dozen people, and the person who gave me a lot of great insight was Harry Hutchins, our own forest ecologist, because Harry's taught ecology at Itasca Community College, and he was working with Lakehead, and he was working with the University of Minnesota and Itasca Community College to restore that wetland and put a platform out there so he could take his classes out through the whole school year and observe the wetland and the changes in it. And of course this oil spill destroyed that. The other thing on the tour that everybody who was able to get near the spill site said was you couldn't believe a 40, 50 foot high tree was covered with oil. I mean, that thing, that some say it shot 100 feet in the air. I don't know if that's true, but it definitely shot 50
wow.
for an hour before they shut it down. Yeah. So it was quite a shocking event. And as you said in the intro, that's the same pipeline that Enbridge wants to decommission now, take out of service. And there's no, I mean, Enbridge says that pipeline is shot. We don't want to maintain it anymore. We want to close it down, clean it out, and abandon it. And of course, there's some controversy around that. What would happen if they just abandoned it? And that's a story for our time.
Yeah. Well, so you'll be speaking at the event that's on Sunday at Itasca Community College, right?
Yeah, this Sunday is this Water is Life event sponsored by Honor the Earth on Sunday, March 4th, to signify the 27th anniversary of the Enbridge oil spill. Just west of ICC. And they just asked me to basically kind of explain what I just explained here, you know, and they're going to have other speakers there and music. But the event is from 2 to 5 o'clock at the Itasca Community College cafeteria. It's kind of the student center. There'll be a feast, and Winona LaDuke will be the keynote speaker, music by Annie Humphrey.